On the Air is produced by the RHS Theater Arts Program through the auspices of District 196. You can find us online at RHS Theater Arts and on Facebook at Rosemont High School Theater Arts. RHS Radio Theater On the Air is brought to you by Mr. Mike's Mighty Mints, the candy mints guaranteed to take your breath away. KRHS Radio, Rosemont High School, Rosemont, Minnesota.
Coming to you live from the stage of the Performing Arts Center at Rosemont High School, Rosemont, Minnesota, you are on the air with KRHS Radio Theater, streaming right now in real time on the internet in the style of old-time radio. Our show is sponsored by District 196 and produced by the RHS Theater Arts Program. Today's show features the KRHS House Band, The Straw Hat with Kylie Frank and Laura Sandham on the keyboards, Connor Cruitt and Peter Wallen on guitars, Jacob Brunkley on bass, and George Tangen on drums. Our in-house singers, Leite Wen, featuring Anna Cinto, Amanda Ellis, and Carly Aronson. And our performing company with Tyler Gonzalez, Olivia Bundy, Cole Tyndall, Audrey Powell, Travis Nelson, Emma Schneider, and I'm Becca Schultz.
Jesus loves you more than you will know. Oh, God bless you please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey.
And welcome to the RHS PAC and to our radio theater show for 2015. Please sit back and enjoy the next hour filled with a mix of cool songs and crazy sketches. We're going to start today's show with Anna, Amanda, and Carly and the KRHS House Band bringing you Stepping Out Tonight with Mr. Cole Tyndall waxing poetic on the trumpet.
Since you were a baby, how I babied you. Now you're not a baby, and it makes me blue. Tonight you're going dancing, your dreams may get a star. Don't you let that moonlight take advantage of your heart. You're stepping out tonight and the moon is shining bright. I know that you will have a lot of fun. But while dancing cheek to cheek, do not let your heart grow weak. Just remember that's the move, my son. She may thrill you to the skies with the moonlight in her eyes, but moonlight fades away when night is done. You may kiss her if you can, but be careful, little man. Just remember that's the moon, my son. Maybe she's really very nice. Maybe you'll dream of shoes and rice, sonny, but you must know for sure she's the one. But if she can reach your heart, even when you're far apart, then that's not the moon, that's love, my son. Maybe she's really very nice. Maybe you'll dream of shoes and rice, sonny, but you must know for sure she is the one. But if she can reach your heart, even when you're far apart, then you know, no, that's not the moon, that's love, my son.
tonight, in our tribute to old time radio, we're going to bring you some Suspense, another 5-minute mystery. Today's episode is titled The Needle. See if you can solve the case before the end of the program. Dr. Greenwood speaking.
Oh, Dr. Greenwood. Dr. Greenwood, this is Mrs. Barnes.
Yes?
Something horrible has happened. My husband.
Well, what's happened to him? He seemed fine this morning.
The medicine you've left. He's killed himself with it.
Dr. Greenwood.
Where's your mistress?
Mrs. Barnes is upstairs in her bedroom. She has taken this very badly, Doctor.
Isn't there anyone up there with her?
No. Mrs. Barnes only phoned you and Mr. Graham.
Well, Graham?
Speedy Graham. He's the manager of the Blue Sox, the baseball team. Mr. Barnes pitched for them.
Oh, right. So now, where's his body now?
Right in this next room here, sir. Won't you step this way?
Has anyone been in here since Mr. Barnes died?
Well, no, sir. That is...
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Greenwood, that I couldn't be here to greet you.
Well, I understand completely, Mrs. Barnes.
I'm still hardly able to think clearly.
Please, try to tell me what happened.
Well, after you left this morning, Mr. Barnes became very difficult.
You mean about the injections I told you to give him?
Yes. He thought I wouldn't know how to handle the hypodermic. He begged me to send for you.
And then? Well, then what happened?
I came in about 2 o'clock this afternoon, right into this room. I saw him putting the hypodermic needle into his own arm. His face was contorted in pain.
Yes?
I cried out to him, but he slumped to the ground, pale as a ghost. And a few minutes later, he was dead. Look, you can still see the mark of the needle on his left arm.
Ah, so you can. So you can.
Oh, answer that, please, Gertrude. It's probably Speedy. He said he'd be over as soon as he could make it.
Now you say, Mrs. Barnes, that your husband became very, very pale?
Yes. Oh, please, Dr. Greenwood, don't make me describe it to you again. It was too horrible.
Mrs. Barnes, I don't know what to say. It's been a great shock.
Thank you, Speedy. I know how you feel.
Well, Mr. Graham, do you know of any reason why Mr. Barnes would have wanted to take his own life?
Why, no, sir. I can't think of any. He always seemed happy to me. Always had good health. He made good money. He loved playing the game. He was a great pitcher. Well, except for after this last spell. Why, he was the best southpaw in the business.
Oh, I see.
Mrs. Barnes, you've had a hard 2 hours. Why don't you go rest while I take care of the details?
Mr. Graham, I don't think I'd waste any sympathies on Mrs. Barnes. I'm gonna have her arrested on the charge of murdering her husband.
Why does Dr. Greenwood accuse Mrs. Barnes of murdering her husband? In a moment, the doctor will tell you himself. But first, a word from our sponsor. This episode of 5-Minute Mystery is being brought to you by Mr. Mike's Mighty Mints. The candy mints guaranteed to take your breath away. Be a prince, take the hints. Use Mr. Mike's Mighty Mints.
The other day I went a-walking out, and just what did I see? But the handsomest man, my heart began to flutter when he smiled at me. I blew him a kiss with the mintiest fist, and he's loved me ever since. And I owe it all to Mr. Mike's Mighty, Mr. Mike's Mighty Mints.
And now, let's see if your observation is as keen as Dr. Greenwood.
Well, to tell you the truth, I was puzzled in the beginning. I couldn't understand how he could have killed himself with a harmless preparation that I'd prescribed.
How did you connect Mrs. Barnes to the murder?
Well, her story and the telltale needle mark on his left arm. You see, Barnes was a southpaw, a left-handed pitcher.
If he had really given himself the needle, the mark would have been on his right arm.
Join us again next time for another chance to solve a five-minute mystery.
Now, here's a spoof on the ultimate breakup titled Christmas Breaks with Travis, Emma, and Cole.
Sorry, I'm late. Have you been waiting long?
Since 5.
I'm really sorry. There's so much to do with the holidays.
I understand.
Really?
Sure.
That's great. Really, that's great.
Why don't we go to my place to open presents?
Your place is so cramped.
Cramped? I thought you liked my place.
It's fine, really. It's just, well, you know, cramped.
Okay. How about your apartment? It's huge.
No, this place is so much better. The site of our first rendezvous. How many lazy Saturday mornings have we spent here?
You're such a romantic. Let me see those boxes. Do you have something special in there for me?
How do you mean?
You know.
All gifts are special. That's the whole point. The whole idea of giving something to someone else, free, no strings attached. It's such a weird concept.
I love Christmas.
Yeah, I know.
I've got something special for you.
What is it?
It's a surprise, but you're really going to like it. We're really going to like it.
Maybe you should open yours first.
You can at least read my card. Here, read it.
Oh, this is great poetry.
I wrote and illustrated it myself. Bet you didn't know I could draw reindeer.
I had no idea.
I mean every word.
I know you do, really. So why don't you start with this?
Books. Wonderful. Maybe some Emily Dickinson? This one's Improving Yourself in Every Way. How to Lose Weight and Keep It Off. How to Cope When You Don't Deserve the One You Love.
You know how easy it is to pick up a few pounds over the holidays.
Right. Of course. Thank you, Peter.
There's more.
Good. One free plastic surgery with Dr. Randall Fishnew.
You can use it for whatever you want. Cheeks, eyes, tummy tuck.
Which do you think I need most?
Start wherever makes you happy. He's really a talented man. A miracle worker.
Peter.
Wait, there's more.
I don't think I can stomach any more.
Stay right there. I'll bring him in. Come in. She's ready for you. Oh, no, don't worry. She'll be fine. Marcy? This is David.
Davis, with an S.
Oh, Davis.
Hi, it's a pleasure to meet you, Marcy.
The flowers.
Oh, these are for you.
What the heck is going on?
Well, that's an excellent question.
I found Davis through the personals, so you can hit the ground running. I know there's a big office party tonight.
And you can't go?
I don't want to go. Well, that's not quite it. I don't want to go with you.
What?
I don't think we should see each other anymore.
Maybe I should leave.
Stay, definitely stay.
How can you do this to me now?
I've been hinting for months, but just keeps on going. This is just the way it has to be. Sorry, you're great, but to be honest, not great enough. Oh, at least for me, really. She's wonderful.
Peter, please don't do this.
I know how you feel. Well, I don't, but I can imagine. Look, I have to run. Dinner meeting at Maxine's. Maybe we can still be friends. No, that never works. I have to go, honest. Have a good night. Bye.
Are you all right?
No, I don't think so.
Well, maybe I'll stay. Just a minute, until you feel a little better.
What am I going to do? It's not right. That was not right. Not to do it like that. Whatever happened to closure? I cannot accept that. Do you understand? I cannot accept that!
Well, I'm sure you'll find someone else. Someone better.
Oh, like you?
Who knows? Elysium is as far to the very nearest room. If in that room a friend wait felicity or doom. What fortitude the soul contains, that it can so endure the accent of a coming foot, the opening of a door.
Emily Dickinson.
Your ad said you liked it.
Peter's ad. What exactly did it say?
Oh, okay, I have it right here. Let's see, a single, white female, 27, on the rebound, need a shoulder to cry on. Just lost a great hunk of an executive fast tracker. I'm occasionally clingy, over-romantic, obsessive, and unpredictable. I like long walks in the snow, Old movies? Emily Dickinson. Tired of the with it? Really successful type. Ready for someone ordinary. In close picture.
You actually answered that?
It seemed very honest. Direct. Seems like there's not much of that these days. What are you doing for Christmas?
My plans seem to have changed.
I have zero plans. Maybe we could...
Maybe. There's something I need to take care of first.
Okay.
Peter, you know how I was talking about...
Davis. My name is Davis.
I'm going to call you Peter.
Are you sure that's a good idea?
Peter, I think you should open this.
But I'm not
open
Peter.
It.
Oh, I really don't think
go
this
ahead,
is a good...
Go ahead, look inside.
Oh, my. A ring. I see you did have plans for Christmas. Important plans. So this all came as a... It's a very nice ring. But we just...
I think you should do this right.
Excuse me?
On your knees, Peter.
Sure, right. Of course.
Thanks. Go ahead.
Marcy.
I can't believe this. I never expected this. Peter, I just... This is such a shock.
But surely you've known how I feel.
Keep going.
Marcy, over the past X months, X equals...
Seven.
Over the past 7 months, I've been like a man who's discovered the formula for a happy life. Without you, the equation doesn't balance. I need you to be my independent variable. To quote Emily herself, love is anterior to life, posterior to death, initial of creation, and the exponent of breath. Keep me breathing, Marcy. Fill my life with love. Marry me.
Oh, Peter.
Will you be mine for infinity?
No way.
You've got something for me, something you call love, but confess you've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin', and now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you. Keep lying when you ought to be truthin', and you keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a changin'. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. These boots are made for walking, that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Playing where you shouldn't be playing, and you keep thinking that you'll never get burned. Well, I just found me a brand new box of matches, yeah. And what he knows, you ain't had time to learn. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you. Are you ready, boots? Start walking.
You boys, beware a woman scorned. That was Emma and the band with These Boots Are Made for Walking, the number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100 from 1966. Here's Peter with the Musician's Diary.
Another year, and another decade, gone. At this point in my life, I had to ask myself the same question that probably all unsigned musicians have asked themselves at some point. Is it time to hang up the guitar, bass, castanets, and focus on a career in something? Well, you know, lately I have been getting a little tired and started to run out of gas. And lately I've been thinking about hanging it up and been thinking about heading home. I'm sitting in the railway station, got a ticket for my destination. And on a tour of one night stands, my suitcase and guitar in hand. Every stop is neatly planned for a poet and a one man band. Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts escaping. Home, where my music's playing. Home, where my love lies waiting silently for me. And every day is an endless stream of cigarettes and magazines. And each town looks the same to me, the movies and the factories. Every stranger's face I see reminds me that I long to be homeward bound. I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts escape, and home, where my music's playing. Home, where my love lies waiting silently for me. Tonight I'll sing my songs again, I'll play the game and pretend. But all my words come back to me in shades of mediocrity. My emptiness in harmony, I need someone to comfort me. Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound.
Peter, Audrey, and Connor with Simon and Garfunkel's Homeward Bound. Listen now to our tribute to the Radio Quiz Show. Take it away, folks.
And now, as part of our anniversary season, another classic moment. Several years ago, we introduced the world to a radio game show, which went on to instant notoriety and is still requested by fans to this day. So, here, one more time, is that toe-tapping, head-scratching battle of ephemera. Yes, it's time to play Musical Meter Geeks. And here's your host, the master of minutiae, Alex Lund.
Thank you, Cleveland. It's a delight to be back, and let's get right to it. As regular listeners already know, our current contestants have been locked in a dead heat for 34 consecutive programs. Let's meet them now and see if one will finally musically master the other. Hailing from East Lilywhite, Rhode Island, three-time World Trivial Pursuit champion, Wilhelmina Dink! And from Corn Ear, Iowa, four-time winner of the Burt Lahr Memorial Rib Cook-Off, Stuart Plotz. Let's get to know our contestants a little better before the bloodletting begins, shall we? Stuart, it says here your interest in musical theater began in first grade. How did that come about?
Well, like many six-year-olds, my love affair with the theater began when I was cast in the school play. Mrs. Vandegrift was our director. Brilliant. Brilliant woman, a visionary.
What play was that, Stuart?
Cabaret.
Cabaret? With first graders? She really was a visionary.
You should have seen my MC. I still had the lift then, which Mrs. Vandergriff said added incredible poignancy.
I can imagine. Wilhelmina, you...
Might I add that Mrs. Vandergriff's production was much... much darker than the recent Broadway revival.
Really? What an interesting elementary school that must have been.
Don't even get me started on her production of Equus.
Wilhelmina, your devotion to musical theater began...
Not to brag, but I fell in love with the Footlights at a much, much younger age than Stuart here. By first grade, I was already well-versed in the mythos of musicals.
And it began...
The original cast recording of Arms and the Girl with Nanette Fabre. I found my mother's LP and, well, the rest is history. I whirled the grooves listening again and again and again.
I'm sure your family enjoyed that as well.
I don't know, really. They moved while I was at summer camp one year. Musical theater camp in Connecticut? We produced Pal Joey.
Wait, your family moved away without you?
No forwarding address.
How sad.
Not really. They left me with the phonograph and the stack of show tunes.
Well, let's get right to our contest, shall we? As I said earlier, you two have been locked in a dead tie for the last 34 shows. The first to get 3 right answers tonight will be our grand champion. Are you ready?
Oh, yes.
Certainly.
All right, then. Our first question. In the 1941 production of Banjo Eyes with Eddie Cantor, who was the costume designer? Stuart.
Lydia McTingle.
Right you are. 1 point for Stuart.
I thought you said the questions were going to be hard this time.
Keep your hat on, Wilhelmina. Next question. 1951. The King and I, what was... Wilhelmina...
Who was Gertrude Lawrence?
No, please let me finish that. What, Stuart?
What is a waltz?
No. No, if I may just...
Where is Cy...
No.
Where is baldness?
No. This is not Jeopardy, will you please?
What is colonialism?
What is polygamy?
No. Let me finish the question. What song was Getting to Know You written to replace? Stuart.
I believe Getting to Know You was written to replace my What a Load of Children.
Correct!
I knew that.
I'm sure you do. Whoever, Stuart takes the lead. One more right answer and he'll have the championship. Finally. Now it's time for the Name That Tune portion of the show. Please buzz in the moment you recognize this tune from the 1940s film. Wilhelmina.
It might as well be Spring from State Fair 1945.
But there was only one... Right you are. 1 point for Wilhelmina. Okay. In 1975, Chorus Line opened. The song, Dance 10, Looks 3, was performed by Donna McKechnie, who was originally slated to sing the part. Stuart.
Ethel Merman?
Ethel Merman? Ethel Merman was 63 when that opened. You think she would have been hoofing it around up there? Oh, in tights? At 63? Besides, she was in her 14th tour of Gypsy at that point.
You have a better answer?
Gwen Verdon.
Gwen Verdon, correct!
Oh, of course, but she couldn't do it because she was still performing in the musical Chicago.
Right.
Well, does that count for extra credit?
No. Wilhelmina 2, Stuart 2. It all comes down to this. We're going to play another show tune. Whoever names it first will be our grand prize winner. Are you ready?
Oh, yes.
Certainly.
All right. Name the tune and show title of this hit from the 1980s. Well? Stuart?
Is it Assassins?
No. Sorry. Wilhelmina, it's yours to win.
I have no idea. None.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Cats! That was title song Memory from the musical Cats.
Oh, I can't believe it.
So we have no winner. Lord help us, that means a 35th round, which means we all will see you all again. But next we play Musical Theater Geeks.
Thank you.
My temperature's rising and my feet on the floor. 20 people knocking cause they want some more. Let me in, baby, I don't know what you got, but you better take it easy, this place is hot. And I'm so glad you made it. So glad you made it. You gotta
give me some loving.
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 Every day.
Well, I feel so good, everything is sounding hot. Better take it easy, cause the place is on fire. Been a hard day and I don't know what to do. Wait a minute, baby, this could happen to you. And I'm so glad we made it. So glad we made it. You gotta
give me some
lovin'.
Give me some lovin'.
Give me some lovin'.
Give me some lovin'.
Give me some lovin'.
Every day.
Feels so good, everybody's getting hot. Better take it easy, cause the place is on fire. It's been a long day, nothing been too good. But I'm gonna relax, baby, everybody should. And I'm so glad we made it. So glad we made it. You got
give me some
loving.
Give me some loving.
Give me some loving.
Give me some loving.
Give me some loving.
Every day.
And then we'll be right back. You're listening to RHS Radio Theater
on the air,
coming to you live from the Performing Arts Center here at Rosemount High School, Rosemount, Minnesota.
RHS Radio Theater on the air is brought to you by Mr. Mike's Mighty Mints, the candy mints guaranteed to take your breath away. Next up in the RHS Performing Arts Center is the RHS Dance Show, Kaleidoscope, an evening of dance. Come and share your appreciation for this incredible art form here in the PAC on February 27th and February 28th at 7 p.m. Coming in April to the Performing Arts Center is the premiere of Clean Shorts, Just the Briefs. For the fourth year, the RHS Film Lot, in conjunction with the Digital Film Factory, will air several new short films on Saturday, April 4th at 7 p.m. RHS Radio Theater, on the air, is produced by the RHS Theater Arts Program through the auspices of District 196. You can find us online at RHS Theater Arts and on Facebook at Rosemount High School Theater Arts.
All right, we're back live, folks. Time for a show of hands. Who likes coffee? Who likes tea? Who likes the Java Jive? Take it away, ladies.
Cheery coffee bean.
Sing it, girl.
Oops, Mr. Mortar, I'm a coffee pot. You shoot me the pot and I'll pour me a shot. A cup of death and my booze. Slip me a slug from that wonderful mug and I'll cut a rug. A snug in a jug. Drop your nickel in my pot, Joe. Take it slow.
So, the question of the day is, what do soup and guinea pigs have in common? Well, more than you'd think. Here are Cole and Audrey with their reading of The Guinea Pig.
Waiter!
Yes?
Waiter! There seems to be an animal in my soup.
What kind of an animal, sir?
A hamster.
I think you are mistaken, sir. You say there is a hamster in your soup?
Yes. I'd like a new bowl of soup, please.
I'm sure if you look again, you'll see you've made a mistake.
All right, look. I know I've made no mistake about it. There is a small, furry hamster drinking my soup. Now would you please bring me a new bowl?
Oh, I know what must have happened. That's not a hamster in your soup. It's a guinea pig. The cook must have forgotten to remove it before I brought out your soup.
What?
Yes, we serve them in all the soups. If the guinea pig lives, then we know that the soup is safe to eat. If it dies, we know that someone has poisoned the soup.
Well, that's gotta be the stupidest thing I've ever heard. The creature's beating me into my soup. He's finished almost all of it. I certainly don't care to share my soup with some guinea pig.
Just be thankful it wasn't poisoned.
And is poison soup a common occurrence at this restaurant?
It all depends on what you mean by common.
Let me put it to you this way. Has anyone been poisoned here?
Not since we've started serving the guinea pigs in the soup, no.
I see. And how many guinea pigs have died from drinking poisonous soup?
Well, you see, it's very hard to tell. Guinea pigs don't really know how to swim, so some of them might have just plain drowned or, you know, died of natural causes.
How many have died total?
In the past 2 months?
Since you started using them.
That was 2 months ago.
Oh, stop stalling. How many guinea pigs have died in your soup?
All right, let's see. 25?
Tell me, do you get many customers coming back to this restaurant?
Well, we are on a major highway here. We see a constant flow of new patrons.
So it doesn't really bother you that you'll never get repeat business from any sane human being?
Well, you know, that's just the way it goes. Some people have no concern for their own safety. You can eat in other restaurants if you want to. Sure, see if I care. Go somewhere else where they don't taste test the food with sterilized lab animals if you want to. Like I said, we don't need your business. Do you have any idea how many people are killed by food poisoning in restaurants each year? Do you? I do. It's thousands. But the name of this restaurant does not appear on this list. We have not had one customer die of food poisoning. Not one.
I can believe that. It's probably because nobody eats anything here. Who in their right mind is going to eat a bowl of soup that they just picked a hamster out of, sterilized or not?
It's a guinea pig.
I don't care if it's a muskrat. I can't believe anyone would share their soup with one. For one thing, they'd have to be quick. This little guy's just finished mine.
Then, obviously, it wasn't poison. You could have eaten it, assured of your safety.
A lot of good that does me now.
Well, you could lick the guinea pig.
Oh, don't be disgusting.
Fine, I'll bring you another bowl of soup. We can skip the guinea pig. We'll just dip his head in so we can get a little sip of it.
Oh, certainly not.
Just a sip?
No. Bring me a new bowl of soup, and don't let any furry creatures within a foot of it. Understand?
Fine, it's your life.
Sheesh, sirs. You're actually kind of cute. Hey. Waiter!
Yes, sir?
My guinea pig just died.
Oh, that's too bad. You know, maybe he had a heart condition.
Oh, baloney. Someone's trying to poison me.
No, sir. I'm sure your guinea pig's untimely death had nothing to do with the soup.
He finished off the entire bowl. If you're super poisonous, he would have surely kicked off earlier. Here is your new bowl. Enjoy it.
Huh, no way. There are some slow-reacting poisons, you know. I'm sure somebody's trying to kill me. Bring me a new guinea pig right away.
As you wish, sir, as you wish.
We were together for months. He always had a problem with expressing his feelings for me, but I still remember the very first thing he said to me when I told him that I loved him. Who are you and why are you in my front yard?
He holds me. I wait impatiently. Someone waits for me.
Amanda and Carly with Where the Boys Are. 3 Minute Fiction asks authors to pen a story that can be read in 3 minutes. Here's Tyler with Ghost Words.
The letter smelt of lavender and vanilla. Like she couldn't decide which perfume to use, so she used both. Her handwriting had been drawn with the precision only 7th grade girls in love have patience for. Hidden behind the words were indents and scratches, ghosts of words that weren't quite right. Rewrites on top of rewrites. The envelope lay flat and perfectly sealed in the middle of the hallway. If it had not been in front of her locker, I may have left it there. Sliding it back into her locker in secret would have been the gentleman thing to do. I could have given it back to her. She would have definitely noticed me then. Though soon after, she would have given the letter to him, and that would have been the end of me. No, I wasn't going to return it, and I couldn't bear to get rid of it. Lunch that day consisted of me sitting hungry in a locked stall on top of a stained toilet seat, reading and rereading those words. The words she wrote for him. Every day and night since the 3rd grade, I had thought of her. I knew now that as I had thought of her, she had thought of him. She had experienced the same longing, the same doubt, and the same tug of heart when she saw him each morning, and the same dread after school of knowing that she would not see him again until the very next day. One may think that a boy in love would be distressed to learn of the girl's passion for another, upset, jealous, but that would be wrong. Sarah and I were united in our love for the unattainable. We shared something personal. Separate, but intimate. I saw her the day I found the letter. Her nails bit down, her leg bouncing, restless as she looked this way and that for the one who may expose her secret. I only wish I could tell her not to worry. Her heart was safe in my hands, but I couldn't. I wasn't strong enough to part with the only piece of her I would ever own. She told Jeremy about her feelings for him soon after that. They dated for a few weeks, but as they do, things fell apart during the summer. Years later, I still caught glimpses of her glossing over the crowd. A slight curve of a tiny smile at the edge of her lips. Who found my letter? She asked herself in silence. She would never know it was me. She didn't have to. All she knew was that someone had found it, read it, and kept her secret. The words weren't thought with me in mind, and I knew that. They were never meant for me, but they were mine.
You, I will be waiting time after time. time after time, time after.
That was Becca with her rendition of the 1985 Grammy Award for Song of the Year, Time After Time, considered by many as one of the best love songs of all time. So what happens when Mean Girls meets Harry Potter? Let's find out in our last sketch of the night. Here we go with Ginny Weasley and the Snitches.
Welcome, first years, to the Gryffindor Common Room. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me, Percy, or any other Gryffindors.
Excuse me.
Ow! Hey, watch it!
Oh, sorry, I didn't see you there.
Hey! Hey, you!
Me?
Yes, you! Come sit here with us.
Okay.
So, what's your name?
I'm Ginny. I'm a first year.
Is that your natural hair colour?
Yes.
It's gorgeous.
See, thank you.
This is the colour that I want.
Nice cloak, Lavender. What's it made of?
Your mom's chest hair. This is Pavati and I'm Lavender. We're second years.
Do you guys know where the Transfiguration Room is?
The Transfiguration Room? Here, let me see your schedule.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, lesson 3, Transfiguration.
I think that's in the back building.
Oh yes, the back building.
Yes, we'll take you there.
Thanks.
Watch out, please! First year, coming through!
How do you spell your name again?
Jenny.
It's Ginny.
Yes, I'm going to call you Jenny.
Galloping gargoyles! But you look at Hermione Granger's skirt! Vila are more modest than she is.
Of course, all the Snitches would be in the same herbology class.
Who are the Snitches?
They're witch and wizard royalty. If Hogwarts was Witch Weekly, they would always be on the cover.
That wizard wearing glasses there? That's Harry Potter. He has got to be the dumbest wizard you will ever meet. Pavati sat next to him in charms last year.
He asked me how to spell swish. Trust me, the fire's lit, but the cauldron's empty.
That little one? That's Hermione Granger.
She's totally rich because her parents clean muggle teeth or something.
Ew, gross.
Hermione Granger gets more house points in class than anyone else. She knows everything about every subject.
That's why her hair's so big. It's full of knowledge.
And evil takes human form in Ron Weasley. Don't be fooled. He may seem like your typical 12-year-old wizard, but in reality, he is so much more than that.
He's the High Hippogriff, the Star. Those other two are just his little house elves.
Ron Weasley. How do I even begin to explain Ron Weasley?
Ron Weasley is flawless.
His favorite Quidditch team is the Chudley Cannons.
I hear he does Madame Malkin's robes commercials in Japan.
When Ron Weasley started wearing his tie undone, I started wearing my tie undone.
Here, Jenny, this map is going to be your guide to Hogwarts. Now, where you sit in the Great Hall is crucial because you've got everybody there. You've got the four house tables. Then within each table, you've got the first years, the astronomy club, the Quidditch players, wizard chess club nerds, dueling club members, choir geeks, wizard card collectors, gobstones players, the greatest people you will ever meet. Us. And the worst. Beware the Snitches.
Well, hello there. We're doing a lunchtime survey of new students. Do you have a moment to answer a few questions?
Okay.
Did you just use Relatio?
What? No.
Are you sure? Because I feel some major sparks between us.
Oh?
Cormac! Or is he bothering you? Cormac, why are you such a git?
I'm just being friendly.
You were supposed to owl me yesterday.
Cormac, you do not go to Madame Puddyfoot's cafe with Hermione and then scam on some poor innocent girl right in front of us 3 days later. She's not interested. Do you want to snog him?
No, thank you.
Good, so it's settled. And why don't you go take some Polyjuice potion? Maybe then you'll turn into someone cool.
Right.
No, wait, sit down. No, seriously, sit down. Why don't I know you?
You do. I'm your sister.
Oh, God.
No, I don't have a sister.
Yes, you do. I'm Ginny.
No, sorry. Not ringing any bells.
My bedroom is right below yours.
Look, I have 5 brothers.
And a sister, me.
I have a sister.
Okay, you did not just say that.
There's my dad, Vernon, and my mom, Petunia, and my sister, Dudley.
No,
and...
honey, uh-uh.
That's not right, is
that
it?
That is so not right.
So how are you liking Hogwarts so far, Ginny?
It's amazing. I'm just so glad to be here.
Oh, if you're a ginger, do you have a soul?
What? Merlin's beard, Harry. You can't just ask people if they have a soul. Ron has red hair and he has a soul.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Could you give us some privacy for, like, just a second?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, you should know that we don't do this a lot, so this is a really big deal.
We want to invite you to have lunch with us every day for the rest of the week.
It's okay.
Well, brilliant! So we'll see you tomorrow.
On Wednesdays, we wear Quidditch badges.
And that is all for this week's episode of Ginny Weasley and the Snitches. Will Ginny join them for lunch? Tune in next week to find out.
Ask a girl what she wanted to be. She said,
baby, can't you see? I wanna be famous, a star on the screen. But you can do something in between. Maybe you can drive my car. Yes, I'm gonna be a star. Maybe you can drive my car.
And maybe I'll love you.
Audrey Powell, Travis Nelson, Emma Schneider, Peter Wallen, and
And I'm Becca Schultz. Thank you and have a great night.
Minnesota.
Yes, I'm gonna be a star.